in the midst of family. To listen for that word, we turn to Paul's letter to Christians in Colossae, where I kept reading until I came upon the first word of the third chapter. A word written to people living in households characterized by more tension than tenderness. Set your mind, Paul says, on things there's been a third party that need not just to wound another, but to do so in front of somebody else who's really important. And if slander seems too strong a word to identify with, consider the belittling, the put down, the cutting word, usually spoken to the least of these, and times to be said in another's presence. What belittlers never understand is that they are the most diminished in the eyes of others by their behavior. Finally, there is the weapon of abusive language. That sort of interchange when words act like a slap across the face or a fist to the stomach. Get rid of all such things, we are told. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. The letter is telling us, of course, to do the very thing families often seem unable to do. Patterns of behavior over so many years become second nature, so much so that we would not feel ourselves without them. Naked without the put-down, vulnerable without the arrogance, at risk apart from our meanness, powerless without the oppressive silence. In a sense, the self we have become would have to die. And that, says Paul in his preface, has already happened. That is what God in Christ has already accomplished. Hence, from the perspective of Christ's reign, these verses are not so much telling us what to do, but announcing to us who we are. That in Christ, the old self has already died. Saying that who we really are, along with these weary ones who have been trying unsuccessfully to love us, is hidden and held with Christ in God. There is no need, he says, to be on the offensive. The battle we keep fighting for ourselves and against these others has been won by Christ, in whose love all things hold together. Therefore, only to those in the household disarmed by Christ, to those who have laid down their weapons of anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language, does the apostle say, do not lie to one another. The lies so often mean the defense of the least of these, the lie being the persona presented to prevent the onslaught, the lie being all that is left in a household held together by power instead of love. Now, he says, encounter one another in all vulnerability, knowing that no one around the table is better than anyone else. No one is more important than another. For all have been remade by grace alone in the image of God. What in the world might that look like, feel like, be like around our tables set for Thanksgiving? If we take this letter at its word about the gifts of the Spirit, we might find ourselves surrounded by a bunch of people sitting at table being kind, humble, meek, patient, forgiving, loving, peaceable, grateful. What are the chances? If you want to know the truth, I think it might be a very boring meal. Which is to say that somewhere between the ideal of the family in our text, an ideal that leads us to conclude the family we have been given is hopelessly dysfunctional, pumpkin pie. Thanks be to God.